For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKateGreen.com. How do you color your world? So today our topic is, how do you color your world? Perceptions are portraits, not photographs. And I'm going to share. Many of you have seen this.
Yes. Yes.
Is it a young woman or an old woman?
It's both.
It's both. But depending on our perception, if you're younger, you're more likely to see the young woman. If you're older, you're more likely to see the old woman, according to the research they did. So we all see things differently.
I don't see the old woman.
I can see the old woman. I see the young woman and then she...
I see the young...
That's the old woman knows.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, once you see it, it's hard to not see it.
Yeah.
But until you see it, it's like, no, it's not there. So, let me stop the share. So, we mistake our perceptions for reality. We would have said, no, the old woman's not there, until we finally saw the old woman there. Perceptions color how we see the world, how we hear, smell, taste, touch, and how we react emotionally. The problem is we invent, imagine, and create perceptions based on our current and our past experiences. Our perception can be brightened by a good mood, or it can be obscured by the dark cloud of negativity. We can perceive in any given moment, it's not determined just by sensory input. Our personal physical abilities, our energy levels, our feelings, our social identities also color how we see things. See, the goal of perception is not to see things as they truly are. The goal of perception is to see things to assure our survival. That's the way our brains were designed. You don't want to mistake a snake for a rope, but it's okay to mistake a rope for a snake. Neuroscientists commonly call the brain an anticipation machine. To predict and get ready for what's going to happen next, it constructs a perceptual filter that selects and organizes what we actually become aware of, based on what we've experienced before. The filters shape what we focus on, which in turn influences the information our brains receive. And the filters help us survive. If we're driving a car, we need to scan the road for obstacles and be ready to step on the brake. We need to filter what we're looking at and what we're paying attention to select few so we can react quickly. However, our brains do that all the time. So a lot of the information in this talk is coming from the book Perception, How Our Bodies Shape Our Minds, and it's by two University of Virginia psychologists, Dennis Proffitt and Drake Beyer. And they share that research has found if you're tired, distances look farther. Hills look steeper when you're wearing a heavy backpack. Golfers who putt well see the holes as bigger than golfers who don't putt well. Feeling bad makes things seem harder. And friends lighten the load. If you're with a friend, the hill doesn't seem quite so steep. And if a friend is holding your hand, the pain is not quite so painful. They found that participants who drank a sugary drink made better decisions and delayed immediate gratification longer than people who gulped down a sweet-tasting drink without glucose. When judges make parole decisions just before their lunch breaks or at the end of their day, they tend to deny parole. That's because a decision to grant parole requires more careful consideration and so more energy. So how we think really is colored by lots of things going on in the world. Our filters and our biases constantly reinforce themselves. Because when we're biased, we only look for things that confirm our bias. And that makes us think that our perceptions are accurate and complete. We selectively pay attention to the things that conform to our existing beliefs. And we ignore everything else. And we wonder why the world is so polarized today. Our group affiliation affects our perception. They did a study having participants solve math problems to verify the truth of research findings, like the research finding of whether a vaccine is effective and the research finding whether banning guns saves lives. And they found that the people with greater math skills were able to calculate the answer, but only if the answer didn't conflict with their political beliefs. So just providing more information isn't going to help people figure out the truth of any situation. Dan Siegel says, we do not have immaculate perception. We perceive what we already believe. Because of our filters and biases, we unconsciously judge ourselves, other people, and events before we allow ourselves to experience the moment. We tell ourselves stories based on our inaccurate perceptions. You know, if you're walking by a neighbor or someone you know in the grocery store and they don't say hello, all of a sudden she's mad at me or she doesn't like me. Or there's perceptions where the person doesn't even have to do anything. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and my perception has been, and it's getting a little better, that any black male is scary. And my work at Oak Hill is starting to change that, but without the person doing anything, I'm assigning a negative perception to them. Now, if I'm conscious of it, I can change it. But a lot of our perceptions are not conscious. So Dennis Prophet and Drake Bauer say, without our being consciously aware of it, the fluency of an experience guides our value judgment. How easy it is guides our value judgment. And I just heard a podcast on memory, and many of the ways we study to remember things are the easy ways to study, but they're not effective ways to study. So when we think things are easy, we think they're true, that they must be right because it feels right. They say fluent writers strike us as being intelligent, and fluent statements sound true. Fluency makes us vulnerable to mistaking ease for truth. It's a function of how we perceive our own thoughts. But with a little inquiry, that spell can be broken. So there's lots of misperceptions that we have in our life. In Kristen Neff's book, Self-Compassion, The Proven Power of Being Kind to Yourself, she lists a couple of misperceptions, such as putting others down makes me feel better. In reality, does it? Or does it maintain a state of disconnection and isolation that we really want to avoid? Harsh self-criticism is motivating? Is it really? Or is it paralyzing? Is it getting too scary? Failure is an option box that need not be checked. I can and should avoid falling short of perfection. Anyone have that misperception running around in their brain? When actually, if we don't fail, we're not pushing our limits. And failure is the best way to learn. I can control my external circumstances and my internal response to them. Good luck. We can't control our external circumstances, but we can learn to respond to them in a different way. And the last one is, my partner judges me as harshly as I judge myself. We probably all think that, or maybe even think people judge us harsher than we judge ourselves. But research has shown that we always think people are judging us harsher than they actually are. We're the ones who are judging so harshly. So when we have wrong perceptions, we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people. When we believe our perceptions are reality, we go ahead and act on them. And this is very dangerous. In fact, people kill one another over their different perceptions of the same reality. Whose land is it, Israel's or Palestine's? We have the same reality and we're killing each other because we're not willing to see what the other person might be seeing. We're clenching on to our values and our beliefs so hard that we can't find any middle ground. Thich Nhat Hanh says, all our suffering arises from our failure to recognize things as they are. We should always ask ourselves humbly, am I sure? And then allow space and time for our perceptions to grow deeper, clearer, and more stable. We practice meditation to train our mind to perceive more fully and accurately. When we meditate, we can become aware of our unconscious perceptions. Those thoughts that keep popping up that you think aren't supposed to be there, those are great cues for you. Here are the unconscious perceptions that keep popping up in my head that I maybe haven't really been aware of. But if I am, I can break the spell. I can investigate those perceptions to see what's true, what's partially true, and what's not true at all. To do this, we need to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. The only way I know to slow down my mental chatter is to meditate every day. And I have a short period every day where I'm significantly slowing down my mental chatter. And some of us in the check-in said, I'm doing my meditation, but it's not incorporated into my day. I'm not mindful. It's the same for me, but I find that looking back, I'm way more mindful during the day than I ever was before. But it's hard to see when you're with yourself every day to see the improvement. And it means my brain has slowed down enough to see what's going on. And when we do that, we can recognize our mental and our emotional habits. Our brain lies to us. It tries to keep us safe, but sometimes our brain is criticizing us because it doesn't want other people to criticize us for the same thing. But that doesn't help us to change that behavior. All that does is makes us feel bad about ourselves. So we have to become aware of what triggers us. Because as soon as I feel this little knot in my chest that I'm about to interrupt, I can do something about it. I can say, oh, here's that perception that you know everything and no one else knows anything. So stop a minute, because is that really true? Maybe you could learn something if you let other people talk. And we can recognize how we armor ourselves. So when I say, oh, maybe I won't make that phone call to ask someone to go to tea today, I can realize, oh, there's that armor. Yes, you're going to have the courage to send the text or the email or pick up the phone and call. Because that's your armor that you're trying to set down. And if you don't set it down and you let it continue, it's just going to get stronger and stronger. So meditation is the tool that can help us get to know and get to understand ourselves. By coming back to our anchor, our breath, or whatever, we can learn how to become more aware of our unconscious thoughts. You know, our brain is like this big circle, and somewhere along that circle is a line. Everything above the line we're conscious of, everything below the line we're unconscious of. The things that we're conscious of, we have control over. And we're the master. We can decide how we want our life to go. The things that are below the line are the things that jerk us around and make us do things that we didn't really mean to do. So we want to become more and more aware of our unconscious thoughts so they're not jerking us around all the time. Once we become aware of some of those stories we're telling ourselves, we can slow down and question the truth in those stories. And then we can learn to accept what is, whether or not we like it. Because what is, and even if we don't like it, that's not going to change the fact that it's still a reality. When we're upset, we overestimate things. So simply taking a deep breath, they found, can reduce the overestimation effect. And so the calming breath that some of us use, that really helps. When we're saying, oh my gosh, this is terrible, this is awful, it's never going to end, everything's impermanent, this is, you know, people are going to think I'm terrible, probably not as terrible as you're saying. If we simply take a deep calming breath, we'll quit that overestimation. And when we're overestimating the terrible things, what happens to our body? It's tensing up. And it's probably firing our amygdala, danger, danger, and turning off our prefrontal cortex so we can't think. So we want to learn to lean toward discomforts because that way we can shine the light of consciousness on them. If we shine the light of consciousness on our discomforts, they're not so scary as we think they're going to be. Our perception of how terrible they are and how terrible we'll feel if we deal with that thing that we've been pushing down for years, it's amazing that it's really not as bad as we think it's going to be. So if we slow down enough, we can see that there's innate goodness underneath all of that armor we put on to protect ourselves. So instead of finding out we're a terrible person, we find out we have some innate goodness inside of us, but due to putting up our defenses or different causes and conditions, we've made mistakes. We've done things unskillfully, things we're not proud of. So we learn that we don't need to be perfect to be okay. We can love ourselves just as we are. And that's a hard lesson to learn. But slowly over time, we can learn to break old habit patterns that stifle us, and we can become a better friend to ourselves. With a clear recognition of the way things are, we have more calm and ease in our life. Not from being indifferent, but from understanding what's going on. When we understand it, it doesn't seem so awful. So we learn that we don't need to add all the chaos, anxiety, and suffering to our life that we've been adding for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. May you see things the way they really are, May you accept things as they are. May you have the wisdom to see through your biases and perceptions.